The John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the show that is literally mint, an allusion to a brand new feature that is launched this week on the John Richardson Show. We have Angela Barnes with us, who at some point, you see if you can hear it, says something so rude that everyone in the studio, luckily I am a professional, so I was able to continue with the interview as planned. I'm the one that you see on that. It'll be all right on the night when one journalist just doesn't engage at all. I'm just getting everybody else is laughing at their horrific image that you, Angela Barnes, put in everybody's heads.
I didn't mean it.
You meant it. It's all deep inside. It's the filth that is inside you coming out.
It will always find a way out, John. It always will.
I've got a lot of space and time for negativity, bile. You pick people up on their small mistakes. You make them feel bad about the state of the world. You don't engage in that sort of smut on my show. See if you can spot it. And if you didn't, I'll tell you exactly what she said at the end of the podcast. If you want to get in touch during the week with anything on the new feature or the smugness, it's john at absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So it's John Richardson here on Absolute Radio, as I said, back with Angela Barnes. Hello there.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm very well. How was your Halloween?
Spooky.
Yeah?
No, it wasn't really. It sort of passes me by because I live on a third floor flat, so no one knocks on our door. No one
That's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah,
too right. You haven't got kids and you don't want to get involved. Get up with the squirrels.
Yeah. No kids and their parents are climbing stairs for a mini Mars bar. Do you know what I mean? They're just not bothered.
We're on a street, you know, a normal street with houses either side. But I'm so loathed in the area that it's basically like being on a flat. People just don't come around because I'm just a creepy old man.
Are you the house where they scuttle by and go, that's where that weird one lives?
Yeah, not that one. He'll take your sweets.
That's it, yeah.
I learnt sleight of hand. He looks like he's dropping sweets in, but actually he's giving you Parma violets and he's taking your swizzle lolly.
I remember when I was a teenager, because we didn't really do trick or treat when we were kids, did we? It wasn't really a thing. Or maybe you're a bit younger than me, so maybe a bit. But
yeah, I'm young and hip. I'm Gen Z, so don't, you know, don't talk
Gen
to me like
Gen Z. You wish. Well, as a Gen Xer, I know when I was a kid and we had our first ever trick or treaters, and they rang our doorbell. My mum answered the door. And she didn't really know what it meant. And she thought they were offering her a trick or treat. So she just went, oh, treat, and took one of their sweets and shut the door.
Yes. So, that's it. And then they never came round again.
Never again.
Except to dump toilet roll over your house. But I hope you had a wonderful Halloween as well. Halloween, of course, has passed, as has last week's show. This is the tidiest show on radio. Not the cleanest. I'm not going to say that. But I will say it's the tidiest. So let's tidy up anything that was hanging over from last week. If you didn't hear last week's show, you haven't managed to download the podcast, here's basically what you missed.
Not that I haven't stopped loving donkeys. I've got a thing about donkeys. I love donkeys, but I've got a small house. I stand by those things.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough. Yeah. I think it's fair enough. We only mentioned heavy petting very briefly, as is our wont at this time of the morning, but it did touch a nerve.
Hi, John. I was listening to the show last week and I thought about an ongoing debate me and my husband have. When discussing the swimming topic, you mentioned heavy petting, and we have an ongoing debate about whether the sign at the swimming bath said no heavy petting or no petting. I'm of the opinion that the sign said no petting because it seems ridiculous that they were allowed petting so long as it's not heavy. But my husband is adamant that it was no heavy petting. What are your thoughts, and can you clear this up for us? Thanks.
Is this a debate you want to get into in breakfast radio? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're getting beyond Tic Tacs.
We are, we really are.
I was sure it was heavy petting until she said no petting, and then I thought that does sound more right, actually. So she managed to convince me in the course of that message.
Did you have at your swimming pool, it was like little drawn cartoon sign? It must have just been petting, because they wouldn't have drawn heavy petting on there.
How do you imply heaviness?
Exactly. Just like a sort of cartoon Acme ton weight. next to some people having a little kiss. I don't know.
I'm picturing myself now because it's one of those things that I think you hear so much that you just assume you had one. I don't even remember there being one at my swimming pool. And yet I can imagine a little six-year-old me stood by a sign for no heavy petting in my little brown swim shorts saying, chances be a fine thing.
Did you have your badges sewn onto them?
I didn't get any badges, mate. Awful swimmer. I'm a land mammal. It's, you know, very
fair
proud
enough.
Of it.
Fair enough. And I'm pretty sure where you live is landlocked, so it'd be fine.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't even drink pints of water, just in case. Small cups. Now, officially at The John Richardson Show, we haven't endorsed either candidate in the US election because we want to be professional, impartial and serious.
The biggest night of comedy.
Biggest crowds ever.
I've been to other gigs. They were small.
Moving in on Matt Ford's territory there.
I think he needs to watch his back. That was one of the best Trumps I've heard.
I'll take it. Right, that's next week's clip ready. Trump impression, actually. Maybe I won't clip that up. It sounds like I've done something.
It does sound like you've done something terrible in the studio.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is The John Richardson Show.
So I'll tell you what, your third floor, no kids. I am very much in the school age kids territory. We went big on Halloween.
Did you?
Yeah, we trick or treated two areas. So we trick or treat around our house. Then we get in the car and we drive to an area. It's a bit like a heist. We drive to an area that we know to be better for sweets. I'm not going to name names. There is somebody in our area who hands out grapes. Is that...
What?
Vibe.
What sort of sick kid-hating person hands out grapes on Halloween?
I mean, you could argue, of course, that they love kids and they want them to be healthy and happy.
There's time for healthy and happy kids.
That's not what the kids are arguing.
No, and that's not on Halloween, is it? You want little fun-sized sweets.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all dress up, we double area, and then I my daughter wanted a specific toy to go around with her that comes from Build-A-Bear. I'm going to guess you've never been to a Build-A-Bear.
I have a Build-A-Bear at home.
Do you?
I have a little Build-A-Bear that was actually a gift from an ex. But and I did take out, I undid it and took out because he'd recorded his voice and put it in it. And that's creepy after you've split up. So I've taken that out, but I've still got the bear.
I thought you were going to say you took out the heart. That would have been the even worse gesture. When he dumped me, I unstitched the heart and burned it. So my daughter asked for this toy as a surprise. I went to Build-A-Bear on my own as an adult male. It was a very unpleasant experience for me.
Isn't the whole point that the kid gets to see the bear and kiss the heart and put it in the bear and all of that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do that bit. I think there's like a side channel for the lone male in Build-A-Bear where, I tell you what, I've walked in with my daughter before and you get a bit of time. You walk in there on your own in a big raincoat. And you will be approached very quickly to ask if you need any help. And I said, yes, I would like the axolotl, please, the green axolotl. And she said, shall I just give you the display one? And I'll tell you what, it was efficient. It was the most efficient purchase I've made this year, I'll tell you that.
Did they not even give you the option to kiss the heart and put it in yourself? You might have wanted to do that. And they took that away from you.
They did take that away, yeah. No smells in there. We didn't have any of the smells. We didn't have any of the hearts. We just had a simple outfit. And it was 40 quid.
I don't know how to put this, John, but you could have just gone and bought a teddy bear. Like, you didn't have to go through the rigmarole of building it if the child wasn't there. You could just tell her that it was built at Build-A-Bear.
No, it's got the thing on the foot. They know what they're doing. I shall have my vengeance in this life or the next. I'll tell you what will calm you down if you've had a freaky Halloween week is not only poetry, which soothes the savage soul, poetry about scented candles is coming up.
John Richardson. All right, see. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
So we've touched on some polemic issues on this show. We're not afraid. I mean, I've done a Donald Trump impression during Purdah. I stand by my own rules. But the thing that has kicked off has been the request for a resident poet. I sort of thought nobody would reply, but it turns out we were wrong, and we've now got a battle going on for the role of resident poet. If you were listening last week, you will have heard Joe try to dethrone Tracy from the position of John Risen Show resident poet. And she did so by rhyming the word Spaniard and lanyard.
It's all you asked for, John.
So it's all I asked for. My requests are clear and fair and concise. Mm. And sometimes in writing. So the only way to settle this, we decided, was a challenge for both. The challenge was to write a poem about scented candles, a perfect gift for me, if you're wondering, with Christmas around the corner, as a, quite frankly, rancid-smelling man. So let's start this battle with what I was going to say reigning champion or last week's successful gladiator. Welcome back, Joe.
Thank you. Very great to be back with you.
How's your week been off the back of last week's successful poem?
Well, I've had lots of positive messages from my family and friends that I shared the words with, and they're all eager to listen to today's little number.
Well, I mean, you're now, I feel that was such a slick introduction that you're actually now threatening to take my job as well. I'm a little bit intimidated, but you're now teeing up your poem as well. But it's fine, Joe, it's fine. It's just, you don't even need to change the email address, just knock the N off the end. You've got your own absolute email address as well. So here we go, Joe. Let's hear your work.
To a glowing scented candle, the response is often, ooh, unless it pongs of something else from the bottom of your shoe. Vanilla being a popular first, how we love a glowing flicker. But I'm not sure why some feel the need for those resembling liquor. Cupcake and salted caramel, some smells just can't be beaten. But these aren't scents to burn alive, they're goodies to be eaten. A crackle wick with sound effects, waxy fragrance in a jar. Yet still no sign of a tic-tac whiff. Do they not know who you are? My favourite, as was said last week, basil mandarin and lime, which smells so good and fits in well with this week's words of rhyme.
I can see Angela nodding away, taking notes there, I think.
I was impressed. Oh. I was very impressed. And I very much agree. Don't give me a candle that smells of cake. Don't give that to a big girl. Give me a cake. That's just me.
To set fire to.
To set fire to, exactly.
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of callbacks in there, which as a comic, I always end on a callback. The tic-tac line, wonderful. I tell you what, do they not know who you are? Bit of an ego boost for me.
Yeah, you really played to John's personality there with that, I think. You really, you knew what you were doing there, Joe.
I am now in a position to reveal that listening live to that poem and for her immediate feedback, previous resident poet, Tracy, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Tracy.
What did you think? You can set the tone for how this goes now, Tracy. You can be nice about Joe's work and this can be all about art and its power to influence, or you can really, you know, sink the teeth in.
I loved Joe's poem last week and I loved it this week as well. I think they're really good. And I'm quite happy to share the role and write together. I think that'd be amazing.
Yay.
Oh, this isn't what you want from gladiators, is it?
No, not having that. Not having that.
All right. I'll take her down.
That's more like it. That's my girl, Tracy.
So, Tracy, a moment ago, you offered to take down Joe. I say you offered. You were goaded into by myself. How have you been? How was it last week listening into Joe's work and not being able to do anything about it?
It was really surreal. I was just making a coffee and then suddenly heard a poem about myself on the radio. And I thought, wow, this is great.
So you were set the challenge this week. Now, you know I love your work. You did fail the last time I set you a clear challenge to use the word lanyard. Yeah. You not only didn't do it, you challenged me on air and said that you weren't going to do the things I asked. Have you written a poem about scented candles this week, or have you gone off-piste?
Well, I have written a poem about scented candles. I'm not a fan of them in my house. They're more of a necessity than a luxury in my house, and hopefully my poem will explain why.
My house smells like cheese, but not the nice kind. The smell of a camembert that time left behind. An overripe brie lost behind the settee. A Stilton with veins that smells worse than the drains. A Gouda with odour, an over-mature cheddar. It comes from my dog. He's an ageing old fella. His aroma is killer. no match for vanilla. Basil or mandarin could never overpower him. This really gets on my wick. His scent makes me sick. But I love the fairy beast with his soft notes of yeast. I conclude there's no scent of a candle powerful enough to handle the olfactory shock of a mouldy old block of cheese. P.S. John, whilst I'm here to defend my position, you should know that I feel a sense of derision. I'm intensely incensed and want recompense. Reinstate me. You know it makes sense.
Wow.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, I can smell that dog, can't you, John?
Yeah, well, do you know what I was thinking while I was listening to that? Is poetry and art is all about things that make you feel, and that really made me feel sick.
Yeah. What, the soft notes of yeast? That's what did it for me.
It's the yeast. Yeah, it's the yeast. Thank you both so much. I can't, honestly, it's such a pleasure because I know you put the work in the week and everything. It's such a pleasure to have those played out.
It's been really fun. It's been really fun. Yeah. It has been really good fun. And I'm looking forward to the next challenge.
Oh, that was a gauntlet being laid down, wasn't it? Did you hear that
was,
John?
That was, wasn't it? There needs to be a discussion between Angela and I, obviously, off the back of this week. I'm what you call a coward, so I'm not going to do that while you're listening. I'm frightened. So I will thank you both for your time, and we will speak to one, either, or both of you in the weeks to come. I don't know what to do.
I didn't expect to be so moved, John. You know, that they were both obviously passionate and really want it. Poems about scented candles, which I'm not a fan of, scented candles. I didn't realise they could move me so much. There were the amazing callbacks from Joe, but then Tracy really painted a picture. We both felt we were there in a room with her smelly dog.
Yeah, I think to have the bravery to open a poem with "My house stinks of cheese."
Yeah, because I don't know about you, John, my mind went to a lot of places before it landed on her dog.
Yeah, the dog was a real reveal. Yeah. Could have done with coming in earlier, the dog.
Yeah. And some great couplets there. His aroma's a killer, no match for vanilla. Come on.
Yeah. But then Joe brought Tic Tacs in. That was the moment I really, that was the smell I could smell. And it did excite me, the thought of an empty Tic Tac box smelling candle.
That's going to override everything for you, isn't it, John? The empty Tic Tac box.
It's that northern accent, isn't it? One shouldn't say it. But just when you're talking about cakes and vanilla and stuff and you do it in a Yorkshire accent.
It's very comforting.
I think what I will do, with your permission, next week, I need some time to process my emotions.
Right, sure.
They move very slowly. I think next week, to give Tracy and Joe a week off, I will write a poem for Tracy and Joe, thanking them for their work so far.
Brilliant.
And issuing my suggestions for what we do going forward.
I think that's the perfect response. That is, And then they can then choose to do with that what they will.
Okay, excellent. And if it's the limerick that ends my career, then so be it. I've had a great time and I was ready to go. And for at least 7 more days, this is John Richardson on Absolute Radio.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
So it's time to bring the country down a peg or two, starting closer to home. Angela, how smug are you feeling? Last week was very good.
Yeah, I was quite smug last week, wasn't I?
Yeah, and it was hard to challenge. How's this week been for smugness for you?
I think you'll like this week's. I think you'll identify with this week. I've got two little smugs that have happened, both of them this week. One is that this morning when I drove to the studio, I overrode what my sat-nav told me to do because, and I don't usually have the confidence to do that. I usually believe the sat-nav. And I thought, no, I'm going to go M4, is going to be quicker. Sure enough, it shaved 15 minutes off my drive.
Yeah. 15?
Yeah. It went down by 15 minutes when I went the way I wanted to go rather than the way the sat-nav wanted to go.
Now you've hit on something now because at the moment, so I have a constant battle going on because I have my car sat-nav and the app I usually use.
Yeah.
And they don't always agree and I have to decide. I've got a favourite.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I've got a favourite. The problem I have is if you're going to embrace this technology, I want to know that it's better than me because that is the point of it. Yeah. The minute you challenge and you are better than the technology, don't you find now that you drive with a sense of fear all the time that actually maybe this thing doesn't know where it's going?
Oh, see, I hadn't thought of it like that until this very moment, John. You're right, aren't you? Because now I'm going to question it. Because I use the app. Because I think the app's good because it has sort of live traffic updates and things.
Yeah, we know what we're talking about.
We know what we're talking about. But now I'm going to be questioning it because I know it can be wrong. So this could have ruined my relationship with that app. Oh, John, you've really taken
me down. And all technology.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've enjoyed this one. I've never seen one land physically before. Your whole body shape has changed.
It really, my demeanour changed, didn't it then? I was so... Oh, can I tell you my other one, just in case that one brings me back up?
Oh, God, yeah, I'm on a roll. Yeah,
oh, you're enjoying this way too much,
John Richardson. You'll be on the floor after this.
Okay, how about this? How about this? On Thursday this week was the end of the month, right? And I remembered that I had to cancel some subs. That, you know, when you get a free trial of an app and you have to remember to cancel it before it ticks over to the next month? I remembered, and so I didn't get charged.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to let you have that one.
Thanks.
Because of what I did to you in the first one.
Thanks, John. Otherwise, the rest of the show would have just been me in a slump.
But you did it on the 31st.
Yeah, I know. I left it to the last minute.
Presumably, the subscription fee would have kicked in on the 1st.
Yeah, that's right. Took it to the wire.
I'd say, you run your life like that, mate. I'll guarantee you've missed one. You might have cancelled your magazine subscription, but you've missed your council tax.
You need to talk to my husband. I think you and him would get on really well.
Next, we will be travelling internationally. Now, this is the first time we've done this kind of thing. So we have an international guest on Saturday Smugness.
Exciting.
I don't know the person very well, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to be as mean to this person as I am to you, the listener, and you, my friend and guest, Angela Barnes. I'm quite happy to be horrific to all of you.
Sure.
This stranger will test my resolve.
We're going to see John doing like a telephone voice now, aren't we? He's going to put on that. I'm excited about this.
Hello.
Hello.
And this week, I'm delighted to say, we're going to New York, where a story about someone who I'm sure is feeling pretty good about himself right now, because why wouldn't he be, struck me from the papers this week. So we go to New York and I say, hello, Miles.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, Miles, if I sounded like you, I would be smug for the rest of my life anyway.
What a voice.
From your voice.
Thank you.
Tell us why you're feeling a little bit pleased this week, Miles.
So in New York City, 3 days ago, there was a Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest, and my friends all convinced me to go. I went to Goodwill, a secondhand shop, to pick out an outfit the day before, and I matched something to look like Wonka. I showed up, and then I ended up winning. It was a really crazy event.
Wow. How many lookalikes were there? How many did you have to beat off?
So there were about 30 other people, I'd say, that were there, but then maybe like 2,000 people who didn't participate in the contest showed up.
Wow.
So there was a crowd.
Yeah, they actually, the police came and shut down the original location of the event. They had to relocate to like a playground, like that was near in the area.
Wow.
What little I know of American police is they don't muck about. And I would say if you're going to shut down an event because you're worried, don't move it to a playground.
One of the participants even got arrested, too.
One of the Chalamets?
He's also going pretty viral on the internet for being the arrested Timmy.
I have never wanted to be at an event so much in my life.
New York is just so unhinged. Like, there's always these crazy things that happen. So I feel like it makes sense for it to be anywhere else but New York for this event.
So apart from just getting to look like Timothy Chalamet, which I'm looking at pictures of you now, and you are a very good Chalamet, which by definition just means you're a very handsome young man. What was the prize on the day?
They gave me a big 6-foot trophy and then a $50 check, which is nice.
What did you buy with it?
I bought more chocolate.
Yay. You carry on like that, you won't look like Timothy Chalamet anymore. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I guess I also won some, I guess, like, there were a few, like, brands that reached out to me to collaborate with me, too, like Avenue Men Hair Products. Like, they ended up reaching out to me, which is really nice of them. We're working together now.
Wow. And I mean, the reason this has made international news is, of course, because Timothy himself turned up. Did you get to meet him?
Unfortunately, no, I didn't get to meet him. It was actually so unfortunate.
He was just jealous because you out Timothy Chalamet. So he just couldn't, couldn't have that.
Yeah, some people were commenting on some of my TikToks that, like, I beat Timothy Chalamet at his own lookalike contest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you
Well, what I would usually do now is say something mean. I don't know if, you know, the difference between American humour and British humour probably is that. I think American humour is quite well-meaning and crowds whoop and cheer and English audiences tend to tot and sigh and we're quite horrible to each other. But you just seem like such a lovely young man. And now that I know you've got hair product advertising as well off the back of this and you've had a nice day out in New York, I'm just quite frightened and intimidated. So if I am going to be mean, I'll probably do it after a song when you're not listening. But I can't thank you enough for coming on, Miles, and congratulations on just being a beautiful and successful young man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I actually love the UK. I've lived in London for 6 months, so it makes me really happy to be on the show.
Oh, great. Well, if you're ever back, pop into the studio.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So I think I've got myself together now after speaking to... It doesn't help that you're looking pictured. He really does look like Timothy Chalamet, doesn't he?
He really does. You were a bit in awe of him, weren't you, John? I could feel the energy off you. You sort of got a bit giggly and your cheeks got a bit red.
Well, do you know what? Because in movies, the New York thing is like you picture like the angry cabbie. So you expect to say, we go to New York and you go, what's up? Yeah. Keep it quick. I'm busy. I'm working here. They don't sound like that. And when you go to a young man like that and he goes, oh, thanks so much. I'm so pleased to be here. You're like, oh, God. Don't be nicer than me and better looking than me. One or the other, please.
See, this is the John Richardson I know. That's more like it. He's back.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't really turn on him. The pictures are all lovely. The sun's shining. Everybody, I will say everybody there is young. So it seems to be an event, you know. I would have to speak to an average New Yorker just to say what nonsense it was and how much is going on. But the fact that Chalamet turned up, the fact that people got arrested. You've got to look handsome, I think, for people to want to publicly say they look like you. So, for example, if I were to do a John Richardson lookalike competition, I don't imagine many people would turn up to central London to proudly state that they look like me. There'd just be people sending pictures of, you know, the rat from Ratatouille and there was a kid from Recess.
Oh, are they like who you get as your lookalike? At least you don't get... I get blooming Olive from On the Buses. That's who I get. Thanks, John.
Okay. It's just you don't hear that reference enough and it's, you know, it's true.
Thanks.
It's a true comic. I don't mean you look like Olive from On the Buses. I mean, it's true British comedy is what I was going to say, but I realised I said it's true, and then I paused. Sounds awful. It's just been a really bad time for me. Angela, I want you to just talk.
Okay, I'll talk for a bit. I'll say, look, even if...
to be on the radio again.
Even if you did take down Miles's smugness right now, it doesn't matter, does it? Because however much you take him down, he looks like Timothy Chalamet. He's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's fine, isn't he?
He's fine. He looks like Timothy Chalamet. He's a charmed life is ahead of him because he's beautiful and beautiful people have charmed lives. Hashtag not all beautiful people.
Yeah, get a life, mate. Oh, do you know what? Every time we go to be mean, though, he's like, he got his outfit from the charity shop before he turned up and he spent his money on chocolate. It does feel like punching down, doesn't it? But as you say, he's handsome, he's absolutely fine. And, you know, if Timothy Chalamet ever gets cancelled, as all Hollywood stars do, he won't be able to leave his house. So all's well that ends well.
There we go.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So as much as this is the John Richardson Show with Angela Barnes, it's really your show. And recently we got an email from Bobby and her friend Lisa about a 30-year feud over what was the best flavour of Tic Tac. We obviously felt we had to intervene. Angela and I have gone away. Mm-hmm. We have spoken to some of the biggest names in showbiz. And from our point of view, certainly, we will attempt to settle this now once and for all. And Lisa and Bobby are joining us too. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello.
So obviously, I say we're going to put this to bed. I think if it's gone on 30 years, it's probably safe to say it's not going to,
I think it may continue.
Yeah.
One doesn't like to think of the end, but if whoever dies first, the coffin doesn't rattle with the sound of whatever tic-tac they hated, I'd be very disappointed in the other one.
I'm slightly concerned that if we do solve this today, that they won't have anything to talk about anymore. For 30 years, that's been their, you know, the substance of this relationship. What we might do is lay it bare.
It's been the glue of the friendship.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think... It might just move on to which one of us they hate the most.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Possibility. Yeah.
So let's. I've done what I can this week. Lisa, you are obviously Team Orange, yeah. The correct side, the true side, the honest side, the faithful side.
The only side. Yeah.
The only side.
Fighting talk.
Since you're 30 years in, do you want to make the case for Orange, and then I will back you up with some of the people that I've been able to get hold of this week?
Yeah, see, I've been thinking about all this, and while we all have our loyalties, I think that the mint Tic Tacs are a low-tier option. Orange is nice and refreshing, and it doesn't ruin the taste of things if you eat or drink something after.
Oh, that's a very good point. That's a really good point.
And mint Tic Tac, orange Tic Tacs have been going since 1974.
I've reached out to who I can. You'll know this, Lisa, a disappointing number of people just consider a Tic Tac to be a mint, and therefore they don't have the capacity in their small brains to even discuss the orange Tic Tac.
No, how unadventurous.
All, really.
So I did reach out to a few people whose opinions went straight in the bin. However, I did ask about who was doing the chat show circuit at the moment, and you will be aware that Hugh Grant is currently promoting his new film. And I just asked if perhaps he could be asked at any point if he had a preference on Tic Tac, and here he is.
I like orange.
Yes!
So there you go, Hugh Grant, Team Orange. And I'll tell you who else is out promoting at the moment with a few tickets to sell, the Oasis Boys. If anybody... Yep. knows a thing about a long-running dispute with someone they care about deeply, it's Oasis. So let's go to the people's champion of Oasis, Liam Gallagher.
They're famous because they're orange.
Hang on a minute.
And finally...
Wait, I smell a rat finally, here.
I happen to be very good friends with... I'm not really one of these showbiz guys who likes to hang around with other showbiz guys. But you meet someone, you click, here's my good friend Elmo.
You absolute cheat, Elmo's John orange. Richardson.
How dare you?
Not one of those people has mentioned Tic Tacs. You've clipped these off the internet.
How dare you? Listen, while I clear my name, let's take a moment and afterwards see if Team Mint can live up to the titan heavyweights of Hugh Grant, Liam Gallagher and Elmer. Okay, so you've heard the case for Orange. Pretty strong, I think. I'd be surprised if there's many Oscar nominations knocking about on Team Mint. But Angela, take it away.
Well, I'd like to start, John, I'd like to open this by saying, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I went onto the Tic Tac website and only the mint versions are vegan. The other flavours apparently not vegan. So I don't know if that sways your opinion at all. His mind looks blown right now.
Wow.
So
okay, that is big. That is big.
I've just dropped that on John Richardson on air.
What is not vegan about an orange? What
I'm not sure. I think it's in the colouring. Is it the...
It must be the colouring. Yeah. Like cochineal or something in it made from beetles. Oh, my God. But they might as well throw some steak in the middle of these things.
Oh, steak-flavoured Tic Tacs. Now you're talking.
Oh. Fresh mint are made using carnauba wax, a plant-based alternative. The orange flavour is vegan in the US.
We're not in the US, John. Do I need to continue? Because I can with my celebrity endorsements. Or are you ready to switch teams now? I don't know, John.
Come on, tell me who you've got.
Okay, I want to just, as a little caveat out there, I too am not a celebrity party animal. It just so happens that in the last week, a few jobs I've done happened to cross paths with some of the national treasures, I think it's fair to say. So I recorded a podcast last week with my lovely friend from Mock the Week, Hugh Dennis. And so I asked him about his opinion on Tic Tacs. This is what he had to say.
I tell you what, I love these things. I love them. Look at them.
And what you don't know is he was holding up, it's a video, holding up mint Tic Tacs, John.
Oh, can't confirm. Haven't seen the video. Fake okay. news.
Okay, well, maybe this will swing you because, as we know, when Bobby first approached us, Lisa had previously got Alex Horn, little Alex Horn, to hold up a poster saying Team Orange. Is that right?
It is.
That is right. So I thought, oh, what beats Alex Horn? And I thought, well, the Taskmaster himself. And it just so happened that last week I did a gig with Greg Davies. And so he recorded this little video for me.
Richardson, obviously, these are better than orange. Obviously.
Rattling some mint Tic Tacs. The case rests,
can't even
my love.
I accuse you of faking it because he used my name.
Yeah. I didn't snip unless it off the internet. Oh, no.
I didn't hear any snipping.
I feel I've let you down, Lisa.
Never, John.
This is amazing, Angela.
I think, Bobby, that we might have settled it there. I'm feeling pretty confident.
It's pretty big. I'm sorry, Lisa. I'm sorry to the guys at Tic Tac Orange.
It's okay. No, I appreciate all you've done, and I'm already thinking how I can up this ante now to get the better.
I mean, when you say you appreciate all he's done, what he's done is Google is what he's done. let's not forget.
Listen
that.
Here, Angela. Listen here. If you think for a second that I did that myself and didn't ask our producer Will to do it for me, you give me too much credit, even by Googling it myself.
Sorry, he got some minions to Google for him. That's what John Richardson did for you.
I am not going to let this rest. I will get in touch with the guys at Tic Tac and ask them to start using the Carnauba wax in the UK so that orange Tic Tacs become vegan. And then they do so and you want to dig this debate back up, I'm more than willing to do so. For now, I think it's a I'm not going to say a victory for Team Mint, because this is a war and not a battle. However, clearly Mint have taken it this week. Congratulations, Angela and Bobby.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. And I'll tell you what you didn't hear in the news bulletin there. You didn't hear from Dee Harrison of Ipswich. She's put some pictures on social media this week. Lovely. Just trying to cheer up the people of Ipswich.
Nice.
They're having a rough old time of it, aren't they? Not getting any points in the Premier League. Maybe it would have been better to stay in the Championship and win a few games and let somebody else have a go in the Premier League. We don't know. It doesn't matter, does it? It's only a stupid game. It doesn't matter at all. Delighted not to be up there. It looks absolutely awful. I hope you're enjoying it with your beautiful Calvin Phillips in your midfield, who should have been ours. Anyway,
Dee's popped
some pictures
about
on social media. I need to move on. She's popped some pictures. Did you see the Aurora Borealis?
The Aurora Borealis. The Northern Lights. I didn't. I saw all the pictures and I felt that was enough, really, because where I live, our balcony, you can't really see the sky, so I would have had to go downstairs and go outside and, you know, I could look at pictures on social media. It's fine. I know what they are. And I've seen them before.
You are so. Gen Z. That's the most Gen Z thing I've ever heard. I think I might have been able to see the Northern Lights, but I've had to go outside. So, not for me. I didn't see it. And it's one of the few things, because actually, it's been around so much now. It's very typical of certainly the British experience that it's this mystical thing for years that you have to get a ferry to the fjords to have a chance of seeing. And as soon as it shows up in Cumbria, everyone's like, yeah, it's boring, mate. I'm not even bothered.
I saw them in York in 1995, and none of us knew what they were. And I've got like old sort of proper photos of this sky, but I didn't know what the Northern Lights were then. I was 18. And
Did you have to take those on a proper camera?
On a proper camera, with film.
And how did they come out? Rubbish?
No, really good. I've got, the sky. And I didn't know what it was. And then someone went, oh, that's the Northern Lights. And that's how I learned what the Northern Lights were.
So, because my understanding of the recent week's appearance is that you can't really see them with the naked eye, but when you get your camera out, you can see them.
Yeah.
Dee could see it. Whole sky blown red. Absolutely beautiful pictures. It's turned out what she's taken a picture of is a tomato factory. and it's just a little bit of heat glare coming off. Now, I think, in a way, isn't that more beautiful?
That's still beautiful. It's still nature, sort of. Heat lamps sort of nature.
What could be more beautiful than the forced growing of tomatoes in a climate that they don't want to grow in? It's really, you know, you could take a picture of nature, of course you can, and say, look at the majesty of it. Or you can take a picture of man's constant effort to defy nature and to heat the planet to the point where not only have we got northern lights, but just the whole earth is just flames and meteors and acid baths. And I think there's something quite beautiful about the people of Suffolk saying, no, we're going to burn through the night to grow some tomatoes. I think what Dee's taken there is a beautiful picture.
Yeah, yeah. Just shows that my ploughman's lunch is more important than my children's future.
Absolutely. And I look forward to a day when all the skies glow red. You listen to John Ritchie's Natural Oak Barn. Oh, I got so depressed.
Absolute bombs.
I got so depressed. I thought, I wonder if I can just say half of Angela's name and the station, and that will do. You're listening to Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio.
Well, I think this is going to bring you up because your story brought you down a little bit, John. I think you're going to like this one.
I was down anyway, but I'll take it.
Okay, fine. This is a woman who I'm not sure where she's from, but. Her lunch.
That doesn't help me. That's not the end of the story.
It's fine. She prepares her packed lunch for work every day, right? So she takes her lunch to work every day. So already sustainable living, right? She takes it to work every day. But there's a man that she worked with who kept stealing her lunch two or three times a week. He was just pinching it out of the fridge and having it himself, right? And she confronted him about it, and he was just sort of like, you snooze, you lose. You know, I thought it was there for the taking, just sort of laughed it off. So anyway, what she's done is she's made her lunch as she usually made it, but she's added a layer of ghost pepper sauce, like the hottest chili sauce. Plus, just to make sure, in case that's not enough, a layer of wasabi as well. And she sat back and watched him take a bite and end up in tears over her lunch. How do you feel about that, John?
Yeah, I like it. You know, it becomes no surprise to anyone that I am a backer of the packed lunch brigade. You've got to be part of a team. I think, actually, chili is quite a nice thing to do. There's worse things she could have done.
But this was ghost pepper. This is like, this isn't just, you know, sriracha sauce, a bit of chili sauce from the supermarket. This is hardcore chili.
I would like to know what the contingency was if that had been a day when he hadn't gone to steal her packed lunch. Would she have been willing to consume it herself? Or was there a backup packed lunch?
Maybe. I imagine she had a backup packed lunch. You would, wouldn't you? You wouldn't, because you wouldn't want to mix that up. So I expect she had a backup packed lunch, but she just sat back and watched.
Fuming that it got to this point. Has this been going on a long time? Because let's call it what it is. It's theft.
Yeah.
I would hope that man could have been contacted by his HR department. I think she could have gone to her boss and said, I'm a full-on snitch. I make no bones about it. I would have gone straight to HR. He's literally stealing food from my mouth. It's affecting my productivity in the afternoon. It's affecting workplace relations.
All right, John, keep it light. No, you're right. It's a disciplinary issue. You're absolutely right.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've all had a laugh. But I am willing to take it further on her behalf. So if she wants to give me his name and his address, I will go round.
Brilliant.
I'll give him a sandwich.
I hope she's listening and she takes you up on that.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Angela, I think I would say you are, but would you describe yourself as a pedant?
Yeah. Yeah, I can be. And I have to pull back. I try and stop myself. I know you don't believe in that, John, but I believe in being, you know, descriptive rather than prescriptive when it comes to the way people speak. But
yes,
it still grinds my gears.
Yeah, language evolves, doesn't it? I always try and channel a bit of Susie Dent here, and she manages to remain calm. And she says that, you know, a lot of language you use now was a mistake at the time that has been carried forward. There are some things that are not about evolution of language. They're simply about using it incorrectly.
Yeah.
And I can reveal this week, Angela, that I've literally joined the police. Like, literally, I'm literally in the police and I've literally set up a jail.
Literally?
Literally joined the police and literally set up a jail.
All right, Gen Z.
By which I mean I haven't.
Yeah.
But I have reached my limit with the literal thing.
Yeah, it does grind, doesn't it, that one?
Because it's the opposite of what you mean. And I just, I've bitten my tongue for a long time now. Literally, like, I literally bitten my tongue in half over this one. And then this
week...
Is that
why you're talking funny?
It is, yeah. It's very red. It's very sore. I can only say that if this is literally true, then my thoughts are with Emma Willis after what sounds like a genuinely traumatic event. Here she is talking to Kate Garraway.
It was so exciting, wasn't it?
On Saturday. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I would literally, my heart was in my mouth waiting.
Oh, that's not where your heart's supposed to be.
Oh, imagine how terrifying that was for her.
Oh,
just,
God.
She's about to go on national television. Maybe she coughs a bit. What's that? Her heart was literally in her mouth, Angela.
Oh, my God. Was it still beating? I mean, there's so many questions. What?
She's still alive.
Yeah.
So we assume the heart was still beating in her mouth.
She must have still been attached, but just moved up the esophagus.
We don't know if both ventricles went in there, whether it was just one valve came up. We can assume it's the whole heart from what she said. Because she is one of our greatest presenters, and I mean that, she swallowed it back down. And she's been able to carry on with the voice.
What a brave woman.
One can only speculate on the steely resolve that takes. The bad news is she's gone. She's the first person in my literal prison. So
right.
Here she is going into her cell.
Yeah.
And I invite you, if at any point in the week you hear somebody using the term literally, literally incorrectly, and I do mean they've literally used it literally incorrectly, thus showing illiteracy, oddly. But if you feel that somebody's literally incorrectly used the term literally, you can call me. I'm the literal police. Next week I'll have a jingle, but for now I've just got my little car. There we go. That's me. Sort of like an angry Noddy. Noddy with road rage.
Oh, John, you're so happy about this. Look at that, you can finally do something about this. I really enjoyed it. It's like this has lifted you back up for the remainder of the show. This literal illiteracy. Oh, that's hard to say.
Me, they said, what do you want to use this platform for? And I said, shaming good people who are just excited about a new project. That's what I said. So if you pick up on any of this, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes here with you on Absolute Radio. Soon it will be Sarah Champion. And then after that, it will, of course, be Rock and Roll Football with Matt Ford. I've been sabotaging his radio show now since I joined Absolute. In 2 weeks' time, we will be on stage together. I can only imagine, because he's taken this with such grace and he's never mentioned it when I've seen him outside of here, he's planning some sort of physical attack. Some sort of public pieing. Something's going to happen on stage at the Palladium. If you want to be there, there are a few tickets left. They're at absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. It's not just me and Matthew Ford, of course not. The Palladium wouldn't allow that. We've got Glenn Moore from Dave Berry's Breakfast Show. We've got Susie Ruffle, Judy Love, Phil Wang, Josh Widdicombe and Dara O'Brien. And all the money raised will be going to the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital Charity, which is the hospital that saved Matt's life. His life has been saved. I've chosen to seize upon that by making it slightly less pleasant. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it can't all be good, can it?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if everything now was good, you just wouldn't have any barometer. There still needs to be a little bit of every now and again. Oh, why has he done that? And that's what I'm going for. So 2 till 5 this afternoon, I'd like you to text in Matt Ford and Matt Dyson's show with, this week is bonfire night, so firework reference would cheer me up.
Lovely.
While I'm driving, I'll have a listen in. I want to hear as many firework terms as you can. You get bang in there, of course you can. You can get explosives. You get Catherine Wheel in there. I know you're a pro.
Oh, that would be amazing if I can get that. How about rocket and roll football?
Oh, you're straight in there, Angela.
Eh?
Are you texting in at 2 o'clock?
Oh, hang on, right. Maybe I'll save this one and text it in. I'm quite pleased with one I've just thought of. You ready?
Go on.
Ooh, Cantona. Eh? I mean, it's a little bit out of date, I'll give you that.
and the idea is that OR is what you say.
Same
when
with
you watch fireworks.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's good for when I do one on farming in a couple of weeks. OR, can't <Canada. laughs> You can save it.
I was really proud of that.
It's very good. And what's your? Because I'm Sue from Clifton. When I text in under an alias, have you got a pseudonym?
I'd like to be sort of related to Sue from Clifton, so maybe I'll be. Okay. What Sue's sister would be called? Something like, well, like Carol. I think Carol from Carol. And another area of Bristol, maybe Carol from Bedminster.
Oh, how lovely. About that? All right, I'll be listening out. Last week, I set you the challenge of getting as many swimming-based words after our wonderful smugness about how to get a swimming hat on. Did you manage to do it?
I haven't tried it yet. I haven't been swimming this week, but I will try it and I will video it when I do.
Thank you. That's a promise. Get it clipped up. I will send it to you every day, says the man who just clipped up Elmo for his debate. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We asked you if you could get swimming terms out on Rock and Roll Football, and conversation turned to Hawaiian shirts and Hawaiian pizzas. It all looked like we weren't going to get in. And then MG pulled out this absolute beauty.
MG in East Hertfordshire says, did you know the original Hawaiian pizza from Hawaii was made with butterfly prawns, and islanders would paddle out into the lagoons, dive underwater, and then crawl around on the seabed to catch the specific prawn they used to make the pizza?
I would like to salute the listeners. These are some of the loveliest, most heartwarming, supportive messages I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he's enjoying them too much, aren't they? John, like, he was really enjoying that text. That's not what you want, is it?
The sounds of James Gill there getting brought in hook, line and stinker. Oh. Absolutely. Oh, can I just thank the listener? Yeah, go on, thank her. Thank our listeners.
And also, he's called James Gill. That's sort of related to swimming. Sort of.
Yeah, that would have been great if someone had texted in. My cousin never had to learn to swim because she's got gills. It's fireworks this week. See what you can do. I don't know how long this feature will run after we gig together, because I've got a feeling I'm going to get confronted in the dressing room at Absolute Live. But you can text them when they get here at 2 o'clock.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
So, Angela, thank you so much for being with me again this week.
Thank you for having me. Always a joy.
Are you off on the road again this week?
I am. Where am I this week? I don't even know where I am. I'm in Fareham tonight in Hampshire. That's where I am. There you go.
Good luck.
Lovely.
We need to name the podcast of this show.
Okay. How about It's Literally Mint?
Oh, yeah, lovely. Yeah, I'd like to get the literal thing in there, because that is the thing I want
people
to take away.
Or maybe one step further, mint is literally the best Tic Tac.
That's a bit smug on your part.
I'm really enjoying my mint Tic Tac victory.
You know there's a song, A New York Minute.
Oh, yeah.
Because we went to New York. I wonder if you could say literally a New York Mint.
Mint.
It's not going to
It needs explanation.
Okay. We'll just say literally. It's literally mint.
Literally mint.
Just this show is literally mint.
And it is literally mint in that sort of, as mint meaning good, no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It works, mate.
Yeah,
it
works.
You don't have to explain yourself. Don't let Ooh Ah Cantona put you off. That was a good pun. And you should continue to have faith in yourself. And I don't want people to think that these flippant references I make on the show, I want people to know, because I'm thinking of it now and it will stay with me for the rest of the day. I'm thinking of Miles's voice and I'm thinking of his beautiful face and I'm thinking of him wandering around New York, and it's going to make me feel a little bit worse about myself for the rest of the day. So don't you think I just said it at the top? I can hear him. Well, hi there. Thanks for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Did he sound like
London.
Michael Jackson when he called? I didn't notice that.
Oh, what a lovely man.
Very lovely man.
Thank you to everyone who's got in touch today. Bobby and Lisa and the Tic Tac debacle. Our poets, of course.
They were outstanding.
And news for Joe and Tracy next week. My first poem next week.
Well, how are you feeling about that, John?
Well, I have read a poem before to John Cooper Clarke on Cat's Countdown.
Wow.
So feel like... It can't be more nerve-wracking than that.
Yeah, sure.
He's doing an arena. He's doing poems in an arena.
That's insane.
Like a gladiator.
Wow.
Yeah, too right. Maybe I'll get him to give me some advice. Or maybe I'll go online and find a clip of him talking as if he's talking to me and pretend I actually did it. You'll find out next week.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
We've got to beat a hasty retreat now from the studio. You can't beat a good 3-hour session live. So if you want to hear us, if you want to hear the beats of the music live,
stop it,
8 to 11 next week on Absolute Radio, I'll meet you there. Don't beat the meat, but I will. I'll meet you.
That's worse than what I said.
To the beat. What were you thinking, Angela?
It just came out that as soon as I said it, I went scarlet. We were on the phone to Lovely Miles, and I...
Lovely Miles.
I just couldn't
Luckily,
keep it together.
Too young to know what you meant. Oh. There's an innocence about Miles. He just carried on. I carried on. We will carry on. Thanks for being with us. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you live next Saturday, 8 a.m., or else on the podcast. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.